We read from Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." And Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand at the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. So the gospel of the Lord. When I moved from Seattle to Reno to take up a new assignment in the desert, I wasn't at all happy about the prospect of living in the desert. It took me about 3/4 of a year before I really began to appreciate living in the high desert. The first thing that I noticed was the difference of color. Blues become more evident, and lingering gold of the cottonwoods and the creek beds was simply astonishing. I'm a gardener, and so another thing that I learned was the way in which seeds adapt to every environment, even a harsh one. When I started the cosmos seeds inside a window box, they grew immediately and were protected in long, delicate stems. But when I planted the same seeds outdoors, they appeared as a compact button, ready to resist the harsh, strong winds of the Truckee River Basin. But one of the most wonderful changes happened on a fishing trip with one of my parishioners who had grown up in Nevada and knew it well. We made a side trip to a park site of an old Indian fishing camp. It was famous for the rock paintings that were still there and very abundant. And John said, "Come up here. Now, turn around." Although, as I looked out, all you could see was the high desert, the sand and rocks. Then, all of a sudden, when I looked beyond, I could see the shoreline of what had been a great ancient sea. It just snapped into focus. This is the sort of experience that really gets my attention. So if Jesus is traveling into the desert on a sort of retreat that has shaped our Lenten observance, I'm wondering what sort of activities just might capture my attention in ways that could change me. In his temptations and interactions with Satan, Jesus gives us three areas to consider. Stones to bread, my comfort, my possessions. Kingdoms of the world, what I really control, or perhaps what controls me. Self-esteem. Throw yourself down, the devil says, testing God by my complacency and unwillingness to discover God's love in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Perhaps this is a clue to what is needed for a successful Lent. First off, I look beyond the obvious shortcomings of my brothers and sisters. Secondly, I give a bit more attentiveness to their very best qualities. This has always been a soft area in my regard for others, and in a very competitive society, I think others might use a little encouragement in this area as well. To keep focused until I can see the full goodness of my neighbor. We don't need an artificial cheerfulness or a Pollyanna cover-up of the hard facts of life, but some realistic encouragement of our brothers and sisters could be very helpful. It would offer them more latitude to change, give them greater confidence, but it would really change me. As a priest, you accept the assumption that you can always improve and do a better job. At least this is something you can control. But if too much attention is given to self-improvement, other more important areas go undeveloped. A more comprehensive view would include the goodness of my brothers and sisters. In a world where it's easy to sit back and observe weakness and failure, in a competitive world where it's all too often the case that we are silent in the face of failed efforts of our brothers and sisters, a word of encouragement would be a real blessing. And I begin to change from a driven creature, hell-bent on self-improvement, to a more relaxed observer who is able to see, cherish the goodness and the efforts of others. In this, I place the measure of my progress outside myself, really in the beauty that I discover. And after a time, and after many such gestures of encouragement, if you turn slowly and look carefully, you too will see the ancient and ever-present shore of the lake. Yes, God has been there all the time, perhaps now just a bit more clearly present. Don't kid yourself, you really can't pretend that people are good when they fail. But with an attentive glance, you can recognize a surprising beauty. The presence of God emerging even from the brokenness of our human efforts. In such clear air, we now set out on our journey of Lent.